At this point, most, if not all of us, know somebody who's been vaccinated against COVID-19. Maybe you're fortunate enough to be one of those people who's received at least a first dose. Perhaps you got it in a drive-through vaccination site organized by your county or a hospital, or maybe through an appointment at a pharmacy. What you didn't do was get your vaccination the way most of us do for an annual flu shot or a booster of some sort through a general practitioner. That's because family doctors are not yet included on the pipeline of vaccine administration. Dr. Bobby Mukamala is president of the Michigan State Medical Society and a physician. Dr. Mukamala, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Can you start out by telling me a little bit about your practice?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm an ear, nose, and throat physician here in my hometown of Flint, Michigan. And I share an office with my wife, Nita, who's an OBGYN. And I've been in practice now for about 20 years here.
I don't know if you would normally be in a position to offer folks vaccinations. Is that something that ear, nose, and throat doctors do these days?
Not at all, but I have vaccinated probably close to 1,000 people myself for COVID, just volunteering through the local health department. But yes, it's not something that I would usually do in my office, no. My wife, on the other hand, being an OBGYN, does do that for her patients.
How many times a week do you hear from someone who's coming to your practice for any reason, can you get me connected with someone who can help me get the vaccine?
You know, it's interesting. I get that request probably a couple times a day, but not through my practice, but more through my sort of social media presence, just because people know I've been volunteering with the local health department. They see other people post, you know, pictures of themselves getting vaccinated by me. And then they say, hey, you know, I saw you were vaccinating today with the health department. And then they ask exactly what you suggested. You know, how do I get mine? I think most people will have that conversation with their physician when it's their primary care physician. But because I'm mostly there to clean out earwax or look up people's noses for transient sort of encounters, it's not the kind of thing that's come up in my office a lot, but outside the office all the time.
You wrote an op-ed story for Bridge Michigan that posed this question: why is it that the state has not considered sending vaccine doses to primary care doctors? What's the case for that?
Yeah, I guess if I had to sort of explore the logic of somebody else in making that decision, I would say that it was probably at the beginning short supply, right? When they wanted to try to maximize the number of people that got a shot in their arm and could walk away at least with one dose, if not two, of being vaccinated, we were looking at doing it 1,000 people at a time. And, you know, that's pretty much what we've been doing in high school parking lots and in gymnasiums for the past couple of months with the health department. But it sort of left this void, especially when to try to get on a list like that literally was like Black Friday shopping. I mean, you had to sort of log on at the right time and get on the list and hope that somebody called you back. And eventually you got a call back or an email saying, okay, come to this high school parking lot at this time. But it was a scramble. And you can imagine how difficult that must be for somebody who is, you know, a senior citizen, you know, some tech savviness, but probably not Black Friday level tech savviness to navigate that. And that's who I think was being left behind in the current rollout. And that's kind of what prompted us to have this article written was, hey, you know, it's time to start thinking about those people that can't navigate all of the hurdles to get vaccinated in the way we've been doing it.
Why is it that primary care doctors might represent a better way of doing this?
You know, I think it's a added value. I don't necessarily think it should be instead. We should still do 1,000 people a day in a high school parking lot for those people that can navigate the system, but we shouldn't leave behind those people that can't get it that way, right? A senior member of our community that doesn't have children that can help them get on some list, because that's the kind of message that we were just talking about. Those are the requests that I get from children of seniors all day long, trying to figure out how to get on that list. They're helping them do that. But there's a lot of seniors that don't have that person in their family to make that happen. And that's why, but they certainly have access to their primary care physician, you know, somebody that they're seeing anyway to get their cholesterol medications adjusted or their diabetes managed. It's logical to make sure that when they go in for that appointment or call that person, that physician, their primary care physician, has vaccine sitting in their refrigerator ready to put into their arm.
how many Michiganders have a primary care doctor? Is it possible that if we did rely on primary care physicians, that there would be people who would be left out of the system because they don't have that relationship?
Yep. So that's absolutely true. And that, I mean, you and I can probably both think of at least a dozen people in our own friend circle that are probably under age 50 that are very healthy and don't have an engagement with their primary care physician. But that's also the same group of people that when they become eligible, probably won't have any issue navigating the, you know, sort of websites and the various places and logging on to this pharmacy site and that store site and this health department site. So yes, there are people that don't have a primary care physician, but that's probably also the people that are very tech savvy and can navigate the current way. But as far as seniors, you know, what are the odds that somebody that's on the other side of 70 doesn't have a primary care physician? Much, much lower. But you know, if that is the case, then absolutely they might fall through the crack that still exists when both their primary care physician can vaccinate and the health department can vaccinate, but this person that isn't plugged into either might fall through the cracks. And those are the people that we just have to reach out to via the community to let them know that there is help. If you have a neighbor that's having trouble and you hear about it, you know, contact one of either a primary care physician. And I don't think it has to be a relationship with a primary care physician that pre-existed COVID, right? If Dr. Smith down the street from Mrs. Jones has vaccine in their refrigerator, and Mrs. Jones says, "Hey, you know, I'm not one of your patients, but I understand that you have vaccine," I don't think it's going to be any trouble for her to get in there and get vaccinated.
We understand from talking to county health departments that the biggest drag on distribution right now, I mean, the distribution system itself certainly does pose some challenges, but that the biggest problem is really a lack of supply. The vaccine supplies are slowly increasing. But should we be concerned that adding primary care docs to the mix might water down a supply that's already on the scarce side?
Well, so, you know, just from my observations and the vaccines I've been doing through the health department, the initial, you know, so 3/4 of the dosing as of a month ago was going through the hospital systems to try to vaccinate healthcare workers first. And that, you know, that was logical. Now that the hospitals in my area have pretty much vaccinated anybody within their system that needed to be vaccinated or wanted to be vaccinated, I just looked at the numbers and it's getting much closer where the health department is getting more and more every week. And so it's not as scarce as it was just a month ago. But again, there are people that I think it's more than just where can we get the most number of people vaccinated. We should also consider who it is that's being included or excluded in that methodology. And that's why I think that the, you know, sending 20 vaccines to each primary care physician in the county, in addition to 1,000 vaccines to the health department in a high school parking lot, it can be both and. It doesn't have to be either or.
So we might consider this as a, it wouldn't have to necessarily be a lion's share to make a meaningful effect in who gets vaccinated.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's not the lion's share of people that can't navigate it either, right? We just don't want anybody to be left out. And, you know, vaccinating 80% of the people over 70 that do have somebody to help them navigate and get on a list for a pharmacy or a health department still leaves 20%. And we don't want to leave that 20%, especially that high risk 20%. And if their best way is to get it through their primary care physician, let's get them in there.
One of the things that I've noticed is that there have been stories circulating about people line jumping. That is to say, folks who aren't in priority groups getting moved up and getting vaccinations when and getting vaccine doses when, in fact, folks who are at greater risk have not received a dose yet. On a little closer examination, it seems like a number of those cases have resulted when hospitals and health departments ran out of eligible folks who were lined up for any given scheduled day. And they said, you know, we don't want this to go to waste. So we are going to make sure that somebody who wants a vaccination dose gets one. Is there any reason to think that that would not happen if doctors' offices were empowered to vaccinate for COVID?
No. So, I mean, I've witnessed that myself, our local health department, when we vaccinate at the end of the day, if there's, you know, because a lot of the times these vials, which are meant for 5 doses out of each vial, you'll get a sixth dose out of them, or you combine what's left behind in three different vials to get a sixth dose. So at the end of the day, you will have, less than 10 extra doses. And that's when the volunteers will get vaccinated. That's when they go down the list and say, well, so and so wasn't going to come until tomorrow. Let's call them and see if we can get them in today because we have an extra dose here. So it's still very prudent, judicious use of that resource. And so what would happen in a doctor's office in that situation? I think the same thing, right? Because it's still going to be fine in the refrigerator. It's not like it has to be something that's used today because there's this 30-day shelf life for the Moderna one, for example. And so if you got through the five or six that you were going to do today, and two didn't show up, so you've got an extra two doses, then there's no problem. I don't think that it would be any issue to call the people that are on your list for tomorrow or next week and say, hey, we've got these extra two doses. Do you want to come in today? I don't think it's going to be an issue at all to fill those spots, just like it isn't an issue for the health department to fill those spots.
Dr. Bobby Mokamala is president of Michigan State's Medical Society. He's also a practicing otolaryngologist in Flint. Dr. Mokamala, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for the conversation.